Well, good evening. It is good to be here with you, and thank you for coming. Greetings of grace and mercy and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. May they be with us now and forevermore. Amen. So for the text this evening, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6. And we will be reading verses 1 through 6, and then we skip ahead to verse 16 and read through verse 22. And I haven't looked at what the page number is for you in your Bibles. 899, thank you. Okay. And would you please stand for the reading of the gospel lesson? We read in Jesus' name. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And we go to verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there, your heart will be also. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. These are your words, O gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Memento mori. That's a Latin phrase that means, roughly translated, it's remember your mortality. The Roman generals used to, when they were at a ceremony of triumph, when they had just triumphed over an enemy, the Caesar would have a slave follow the Roman general to the ceremony. And the slave's job was to repeat that phrase over and over again. Memento mori, memento mori. Remember, you are mortal. Or remember, you must die, would be another way to say that. They would do this so that they would be humbled, so that it wouldn't get to their head what they had done, that they had just conquered this enemy or whatever their victory in battle was, and this great ceremony to honor the general. Because Roman generals had a habit of rising in power and taking over and overthrowing the Caesar. And so that was designed to try to keep them down. When we think about our own mortality and that we are mortals, we have a day that we're going to die, it does cause us to be humble, doesn't it? When we reflect on this, that my days are numbered. Today is Ash Wednesday. In many churches around the world, there's a custom that where ashes are put on people's foreheads. It's not something we do here, but there's great significance to why they do it. They put ashes on people's foreheads in the shape of a cross, and the people will hear these words, "Dust you are, and to dust you will return." So it's like a way of remembering that we are mortal. We're only here for a little while. And it causes us to sober up, I guess, a little bit, doesn't it? When we think about life is short. Maybe it causes us to reflect on where we're going. What are we doing? You know, what are my goals? What kind of sin are we struggling with? Or what kind of things do we need help with? What kind of things do we need to turn to God for forgiveness and for help, for strength, for all of that? In the Bible, sackcloth and ashes were used in repentance. Sackcloth is just like burlap. I was curious what that was, so looked it up. And we just did a lot of burlap in the sanctuary, in the fellowship hall there. We built those sound panels. It's made out of burlap. So it's just kind of clothes that are just kind of rags, not wearing anything special. So they would wear these sackcloth and they would put ashes on, and this was like an outward sign of repentance. You know, Jacob did this, Job did this, Daniel the prophet, he did this. The people of Nineveh, they all did this. And so many places in the Bible, there's so many examples of repentance. People sitting in dust and ashes and wearing sackcloth. And so that's kind of the deal with Ash Wednesday. It's we maybe aren't wearing the sackcloth and ashes, but we are here to reflect a little bit on our own lives and remember who we are and that we are mortal. It's a wise thing to do, really. Psalm 90 says that, "Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." So there's wisdom in realizing that our lifespan is only so long and it is limited. Peter says that all flesh is as grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. So we're just like grass. Jesus says in the parable of the rich fool, this rich fool, he was very rich. He had a lot of he had good fields and good crops and all that stuff. And then he realized he had so much, he didn't have big enough barns to store it all. So he said, "I'm going to tear down all my barns and I'm going to build bigger ones so I'll have enough room for this." But then Jesus said that he's a fool because tonight his soul is required of him. In other words, he's going to die tonight. So all of those ambitions, like, what did they get? What's the point? Maybe we could ask. And so this is a place for each of us to search ourselves. What are we all about? What are our goals? What's so important to us? In our lesson tonight, Jesus is teaching about giving and about fasting and about storing up treasures. Those are kind of the three lessons that we have tonight. And the thing is, the Pharisees, they were doing their deeds, like all their good stuff, to be seen by other people. And we do the same thing. I mean, I'm just going to say it like it is. That's how we do things. Usually, our humility is just pride masquerading as humility. It's like, you know, I saw a meme one time that was like this guy standing there and the caption is, I too am extraordinarily humble. You know, that's kind of how we do humility. We want to make a show of it. But the whole point is that, what is the purpose of humility? What's the purpose of doing good things? It's not for ourselves, it's for other people. So to help the weak, to help those who are helpless, to help those who are hurting, do these kind of things sound familiar? This is what Jesus did. Jesus lowered himself. He humbled himself. He displayed true humility. He humbled himself to be a servant of all humanity. He served everybody. And so Jesus is he's the one who truly did this. And then we get to the fasting. You know, and this is all connected. This whole giving to the needy and then fasting also. And praying. You know, you can't really separate these things because they're all really connected. And I wanted to talk a bit about fasting tonight. As probably some of you know, I think Jesse mentioned it in a sermon, that he's been fasting, and I have been too, but it's not really for spiritual reasons, but it's just for health reasons, to lose weight and to be healthier. So the way that we're doing it isn't proper, according to what the Bible says here, because you're not supposed to be advertising that you're fasting to everybody. And Jesus says that when you fast, do not look like the hypocrites. Do not look gloomy. So it's like I'm all miserable, I'm fasting and stuff like that. Yeah, don't do that, Jesus says. But rather, he says, you should just be happy. Wash your face and look normal. And so that's the point. We have a tendency, I think, to downplay fasting. We think that, well, this is something that we shouldn't do because the Pharisees misused it. So it's like a self-righteous work, so then we shouldn't do it. It's like, I won't be caught doing any good deeds because, you know, I don't want to be accused of getting to heaven by doing good works. That's kind of how we think of it sometimes. But I want to draw your attention to an important word here in our text. Jesus said, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. When? So there's the expectation that we probably will fast. You know, so we shouldn't dismiss it as something we should never do as Christians. You know, we can fast. We can be free to fast. But the important thing is that we would do it in the right way. And I was asked recently by somebody about fasting. They were saying, like, you know, thinking maybe I should fast. Like, is that something we should do? And they just asked me that question. And I was reading on a little bit about fasting, and I was reading in Isaiah 58. And I just want to tell you tonight that if anyone is planning on fasting for Lent, read Isaiah 58. Read the chapter. God really spells it out there pretty clearly for us so that we would do it in the right way. You know, that we wouldn't be the kind of fat people who are fasting to do it for a show or anything like that. But the whole point is that we're told there by Isaiah the prophet that fasting it's for the hungry, it's for the poor, for the homeless, the afflicted, like all these kind of people. It's the reason we would fast would be to benefit other people. And so if you're planning on fasting this Lenten season, it's a very common thing. A lot of people do this. If you do, remember, it's not about you. Fasting is not about you. It's a time to put yourself aside and to pour yourself out for others. That's really what fasting is. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus, he fasted and he prayed when he was tempted in the wilderness. He didn't do that for himself so he'd have some bragging right or something. He did it for others. And so that's the whole point. If fasting is going to make you a grouch, don't do it. That's not the point, is to be all grumpy and whatever, miserable for those people around you. And so another thing about fasting, that it can remind us of our dependence on God. We realize that, hey, like, I need to eat, you know, and God's the one who provides me with my food. So that's the benefit of that. And so that's how fasting is, and praying goes right along with fasting. It's the same thing with prayer. We don't pray to be heard by people. We don't pray for somehow to gain like some kind of recognition for ourselves, but it's for others. The whole point of praying is that it's speaking to our Father in heaven, and we pray for others. And that's how that is. You know, so don't twist these things. We shouldn't be twisting these things and making it about us. And a lot of times, unfortunately, that's what Lent turns into. People, it's just about, like, what did I sacrifice? What did I give up? And it's just this big thing about me. And it's like, no. The whole point is that we're moving from the 40 days of Lent are moving from Ash Wednesday until Jesus is crucified. You know, and we're thinking about the 40 days that Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted and was tempted in the wilderness for us. And so we're pointed to Jesus. It's all about Jesus, if we didn't notice. It's not about us. And so then Jesus teaches us also about these laying up treasures on earth. And here's another place for each of us to examine our lives and say, what are we doing? Like, what's our life about? Is our life lived to amass, like, just a huge fortune for ourselves? And so that we have a huge bank account, or maybe we're famous, like people know we're somebody. Like, is that what our life is about? If it is, it's not really worth anything. Because Jesus tells us that moth and rust destroy and thieves break through and steal. Now, those are lousy treasures to have. Money is a terrible treasure. It's maybe just, or mostly meant just to be used to benefit other people and to serve us. But we don't serve money. And so that's why he says to have treasures in heaven. It's interesting, I was told a little example about how like this laying up treasures on earth and then having treasures in heaven. And this one person said that it's like God even gave us an example in nature with squirrels and birds, or like animals that are, they like burrow in the ground. Like the closer the animal lives to the earth, they make caves and dens and stuff. Those kind of animals are the ones that they hoard. They gather up stuff. And it's like the closer they are to the earth, they're hoarding up things. But what about birds? How much do they store up? They're closer to heaven. You know, they fly up. They don't have any way of storing anything. Actually, they just wake up in the morning and they start singing before they've even had their meal. And then they sing to their creator, and then they go out and they look for their breakfast. And hopefully they find a worm. As long as they're the early bird, then they'll get the worm. But so it's like, it's a good example. And I think it's applicable here, that the more attached we are to this earth, that's when we're going to be gathering up for ourselves and making up treasures. And it's like, no. We'd rather have treasure in heaven. That's what Jesus is telling us. Because where our treasure is, our hearts, that's where our heart is going to be. In the Proverbs, it tells us that, in Proverb 23, it says, when you set your eyes on wealth, it suddenly sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards the sky. So it's like, when you're trying to focus on money and gathering money, money has a way of disappearing, doesn't it? And that's exactly how it is. So it's like, that's a terrible treasure. You know, don't make that kind of a treasure. But instead, realize that God is the one who gives you everything. He provides for you. And that's where we're directed. Our thoughts are directed towards our Heavenly Father and the true treasure we have. And here's the thing. The treasures that were given in Christ, they're free. They're free. And they can't be taken away. But like, how good does that get? It says, why would we even want to make a treasure out of something here? It doesn't make sense when we really think of it that way. But we know, of course, the reason is because we have part of us that doesn't go along with that program. It's called our flesh and sin. It wants to do its own thing. But God calls us to turn from ourselves. He calls us to turn, and that's what repentance is. And that's what we're here to think about a little bit tonight. Reflect on who we are. Acknowledge who we are, actually. Acknowledge who we are before God and admit that, yeah, that's me. I have a tendency to gather up all kinds of wealth for myself. That's what I want to do. And I have a tendency to, if I even fast at all, I'm the grumpy one. You know, I want to start yelling at people. And I don't turn my attention towards other people and help them and all this kind of thing. It's usually about me. And so we got to acknowledge that. We acknowledge who we are. And then here's the good thing. We move through Lent and we're pointed to the cross. Jesus dies on the cross for all people like us. He saves us from ourselves and from our own death. And so that's why I don't really like Lent I don't really like Ash Wednesday, this whole thing of mortality and stuff. It's like, I get it. Like, there's a point where it's important to focus on the fact that we're mortal. I think there is wisdom there, as I've already said. But it's like, I'd much rather focus on God's mortality. The moment that God became one of us, he came down here, he took on all of our sin and everything. He went to the cross and he died the death. And he rose again. And he brought us with him. You know, that's the more important thing for Ash Wednesday. And so we're actually immortal now. We're immortal in Jesus Christ. We're going to live forever. And so, yeah, as you go about your Lenten season, whatever your things that you do, remember that Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted and Jesus prayed for you. Jesus did that for you. When you reflect on your own greed and your own love of money, realize that Jesus died for you. Jesus died for your sins, and he perfectly paid for them. He perfectly redeemed you. And you have treasures stored up in heaven because you have Jesus. That's where Jesus is, and he is your treasure. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with a prayer. Dear Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your promises and for your grace and for your forgiveness that is with us throughout this Lenten season and always. Because Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And those words stand in power for all of eternity. We thank you for this. In Jesus' most blessed name, amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.